You're listening to the CIT podcast. If you'd like to know more about CIT or like to donate to this ministry, you can find us online at churchintoronto.com, Instagram, or Facebook. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we'd love to see you at church this Sunday.
Good to see you all. Like Nate mentioned, we are thriving in a hostile culture, and we're in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. So since we don't have a reader, I'm going to be your reader. How many are familiar with Daniel 6? Daniel in the lion's den? Anybody? Yes. A few. That's good. Well, if you're not familiar, that's okay. We're going to bring you right up to speed. So it goes this way. King Darius divided his kingdom into 120 provinces and appointed an officer over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than the other administrators, and the king made plans to make him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and officers began searching out some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but couldn't find anything. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they said, "Our only chance for accusing Daniel will be in connection with his religion." So they said to the king, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators and officials, that the king should order that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to any god or human except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den. And now, O king, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed." So King Darius signed the law. When Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down and prayed three times a day, giving thanks to his God, just as he had always done. Then the officials went to Daniel's house and found him praying. So they went to the king and reminded him about his law. "Didn't you sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to any god or human except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king replied, "Yes, that decision stands and cannot be revoked." Then they said, "Daniel is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God." The king was deeply troubled, and for the rest of the day, he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. At sunset, the men came together to the king and said, "Remember, no law you sign can be changed." So the king gave orders for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal so no one could rescue Daniel. The king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting, refusing his usual entertainment, and couldn't sleep that night. At daybreak, the king hurried to the lion's den and called out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me, for I am innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, O king." The king was overjoyed and ordered Daniel to be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him. Then the king had the men who maliciously accused Daniel thrown into the lion's den. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they hit the floor. King Darius sent this message to the people throughout the world: "I decree that everyone in my kingdom should fear the God of Daniel. He is the living God. His kingdom and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Daniel prospered during the reigns of Darius and Cyrus the Persian. There you go. There's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. About a month ago, we gave a message called "Another in the Fire." And to be very honest with you, this message could be called "Another in the Lion's Den." Why? Because just like we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a fourth person come to join them, here's Daniel in this lion's den, and an angel of the Lord comes and accompanies him and shuts the lion's mouth. So there's a lot of similarity between chapter 6, which we're covering today, and chapter 3. And so I would encourage you, if you were not here for that, go and listen to that message. I think it was like September 29th or something, about a month ago. And I think you'll get a lot of help, and you'll see a lot of similarities and things that are really applicable to this message as well. But we want to go in a different direction with this message. But I think it's a profound thing that we're going to show you this morning. I hope it really affects you. Again, so we talked about Daniel in the lion's den. I have two pictures for you. Here's one. This is Daniel in the lion's den, and I want you to look at the person there who is representing Daniel. You'll see he's young and all of that kind of thing. He's definitely with the lions. So in your mind's eye, is that what you think about when you think about Daniel in the lion's den? Or is it possibly this one? Is he old? So he's either young. Let's go back to the first one. He's that, or he's old. Okay, so let's just do a quick poll. How many think that Daniel is young? All the young people, how about that? decidedly shifted to the left-hand side of the room, honestly, my left. Yeah, okay, so you think he's young? Okay, no problem. How many of you think he's old? How come nobody on the left side thinks he's old? How many don't know? That's fair, right? Surprise, surprise, Daniel is 85 years old. Daniel is 85 years old. This is the last account that we have of Daniel in this book. So it's very, very interesting. But I think it's important for us to see that he is 85 because many of us are really familiar with him in his early days. But I would say this as we start this message off. Look, God is calling us to be faithful to him our whole lives long. A lot of people can have a good start in their walk with God and don't do so well later. Look, God is calling us to have a lifelong journey with him. So we know from chapter 1, remember how it describes Daniel? He's young and he's handsome. He's intelligent. He's educated. I think the ladies in my home group, they were saying, Ian, that's the kind of man that I want. Don't make that your life verse, by the way. But so we get this impression of him at the very beginning, and we also find out he is a very godly young man. As the story continues, we also find out that he is steadfast in his love for God and his faithfulness to God, and he is uncompromising. But we also find out he is an amazing leader with great integrity. And yet again, we find out, even in that hostile culture, he honors the king. And even in that hostile culture that was trying to undermine him and get him killed, he still cares for other people. This is the Daniel that we see. So here we see him now. He's 85 years old. And what we read this morning was he is still so distinguished and trustworthy as a person and in his work. He's not one way at home and another way at work. You get the same thing. His person and his work go together. Daniel was also faithful in the face of this trial of the lion's den. Once he knew that the plot, you know, was going on to take him down and everything else, right? He's just carrying on the way that he's going. He knows this thing is going on. He learns then that the document has been signed. The law has been signed and it can't be changed. What did he do? He went home, opened his window towards Jerusalem, and began to pray 3 times a day, just like he had done previously. And so, why would he do that? Why would he go home to pray and begin to thank God? as someone who is now not young in his walk with God, as someone who is much older now, he says, you know, I've been through this before. And here's what I know, and here's what I trust. My God is in control. My God is in control. So he kneels down and he prays. And I think a lot of times for us as we go through life, sometimes we rely a little too much on the experiences that we've had. And what we're doing is we're missing out on those moments where God is saying, look, those experiences are great, but lean into me. Rely on me in this situation. Don't just rely on your experiences. Then we know he's thrown into the lion's den. The stone covers the den. It was sealed by the king's ring so that he couldn't be rescued. And the king, you notice, was unable to sleep that night. He didn't even take the food that he normally has or the entertainment that he gets. And what's striking is at dawn of the very next day, the first person to the den is the king. And he's crying out, Daniel, are you alive? And I'm going to put on the screen for you what Daniel responded, because this is important for us this morning. In verse 22, Daniel says, my God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths, for I am innocent in his sight, innocent in God's sight, and have not wronged you, O king. Then we know that Daniel is raised from this pit, and we know that he is exalted back, or he is given back the place that he had before this accusation was made. And then the story ends in this way. The king praises God. Not a great story? Do you like it? You don't look like you like it, do you? Really? It's great, right? It's an amazing story, right? A story of trust and faithfulness. Well, when we come to stories like this, real accounts, of course, we know that. But when we come to accounts like this, one way that we can walk away from this kind of a message is with this kind of a thought afterwards. Dare to be a Daniel. You and me, as we hear the story, we can walk away thinking, oh, dare to be a Daniel. Oh, I dare. Oh, I want to be a Daniel. Anybody else feel that way? Sure. Only Nigel? Dare to be a Daniel. That's the message that we can walk away from. And why do we do that? Because as we read the story, we're inspired and we identify with the hero, right? Who likes to identify with the hero? Okay, who likes to identify with the zero? Now you're stuck, right? You want me to try again? Who wants to identify with the hero?
Yes.
Oh, all of a sudden we had a lot, right? That's just something that's within us, in our human nature. We want to identify with the hero of the story. And there's, again, nothing wrong with that because God has designed us in that way for something better and something higher. We even see this when it comes to people that we might watch. Like, how many Raptors fans do we have here? How many Raptors fans did we have last summer when they won all the... what happened? All of a sudden, somebody stopped becoming a Raptors fan? Why? You know, people got inspired as the Raptors went further and further and further in the playoffs. And when they won the championship, it was great, right? Like, people were going crazy. And maybe that was some of you. Well, I remember when I was doing, you know, I run quite regularly, and my neighborhood has a lot of basketball nets. Prior to the championship, no one was playing at them. When I'm running afterwards, I'm going around the streets, I'm thinking, wow, there are people that go with those basketball nets. And now there are people out there, and you know, they're pretending to be Kawhi and all those kinds of things. Why? Because that's what we like to do. Right? We love to just say, yes, I want to be the hero. And we do exactly the same thing when it comes to the Bible. We see a person like Daniel, we're inspired by what he's done, and we just want to be like him. But here's the word of caution I would have for you this morning. If you take that message, dare to be a Daniel, and you walk away from here with just that, and you say, I'm going to be a Daniel, you're going to be disappointed. And you may, if it gets really bad, you may walk away from your faith because you say, I want to do this, but I can't do this. And so you start out by saying, oh, I want to be a Daniel. And after a few days, you're like, oh, I wish I could be a Daniel. And then a few days later, you're like, I'm not a Daniel. And that's what we want to help you to avoid this morning. We're not saying that the story that we just looked at is not real. It's very real, and it's very real for us as we go through life. But if we walk away from here saying, on my own skill, on my own ability, on my own efforts, I'm going to be just like Daniel, we are really in trouble. Let me just remind you again of what verse 22 said. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths, for I am, what's the word?
Innocent.
Which person in this room is innocent? Strangely, no hand. Oh, one. Well, you probably mean because Jesus is your Savior, right? Okay, I got it. So I'm with you. But in and of yourselves, who's innocent before God? I'm going to put my hand down because it's not fair. Who's innocent before people? So right away, you realize, okay, while I love this person, Daniel, there's just something that doesn't connect for us. And that's what we want to explore more this morning. I'm not like Daniel. You're not like Daniel. You're not innocent before God. And the truth of the matter is, you and I are full of faults. But here's what we want you, how we want to encourage you this morning. We're not asking you to be a Daniel. But you have to see there is someone who is a greater Daniel that you need to be in relationship with. And that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning. There is a greater Daniel, and his name is Jesus. And when you enter into relationship with him, he brings you into Daniel's experiences and empowers you and gives you the ability to actually be the Daniel that you want to be. But you can't do it based on your own abilities. Well, so Daniel 6 is pointing to someone other than Daniel. Yes, it is pointing to Daniel, but we're being helped in this story to see there is somebody else. All Scripture points to Jesus. All Scripture points to Jesus. And it's important for us to see that because as we're looking at this person, Daniel, we should be saying, okay, that's Daniel, but who is Daniel pointing to? And the answer would be the greater Daniel. What Daniel went through only helped Daniel. What Jesus went through impacts every single person in this room. So I can try to be a Daniel and be my, you know, I do my very best. Or will I take the help that Jesus gives us or gives me and live a life for him? So here's what I want to do. I want to take some of the points. These are not all the points. I want to make this parallel for you between Daniel and Jesus. And just so that you're clear, this is not saying the left-hand side is what Daniel did and this is what Jesus did on the right-hand side. This is what Daniel and Jesus did similarly, okay? This is a comparison. Okay, so the first one, we'll just start off with something very, very simple. They both lived under foreign rule. So we know that Daniel lived under Babylonian rule and then later the Medes and the Persians. Do you remember who Jesus, what foreign ruler there was at that time? Remember the empire? Yeah, good. Very good. Wow. All doing so well. Okay, so that's one little comparison. But remember how those men conspired against Daniel? They were very jealous of his prominence. Do you remember the religious leaders at the time when Jesus was on the earth? What did they do? They conspired against Jesus many, many times. Why? Because they did not like what Jesus was doing, because they felt like he wasn't doing what should be done. Both of them, it says, were faithful and faultless. And again, in Luke 23, we see this in the New Testament, but we know Daniel, again, according to 6:22, it says, he was innocent before God and the king, or in our case, others. Jesus, again, Luke 23, he's in front of Pilate, and he's being accused by these jealous religious leaders. And three times, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. And they would not give it up. And he says, look, give me some more evidence about this man you are accusing and conspiring against. And he kept saying, I find no fault, no guilt in this man. They were both accused because they were in relationship with God. We know that for Daniel, it was his prayer life. That's where we see his sweet, intimate relationship with God exhibited. And how about with Jesus? How about with Jesus? Where do we see Jesus in that way? Where was the relationship that Jesus has? Remember, this is in, John 19:7. It talks there that he had a relationship with God and he dared to call himself Son of God. Wow. Can you see so we've got a Daniel and we've got a Jesus, but what we're looking for is a greater Daniel, someone who did much, much more. So we've seen some parallels so far, some similarities. They both lived their faith openly. We talked about Daniel and his prayer and opening the window towards Jerusalem. Jesus was every day in the temple, healing people, praying for people, teaching people. They both lived their faith openly. They didn't try to hide in any way. And we know this as the story continues, as Daniel is thrown into the pit, the stone is closed over and sealed. I want to remind you of Matthew 27, where Jesus is placed in the tomb, and what is put in front of the opening? A massive stone. And they do not trust the disciples of Jesus because they think they're going to come along and steal him out of there, and the situation that they have later on is going to be worse than the one they had earlier. And so Pilate says, no problem, go and seal it and put a guard in front of that tomb, in front of that stone, so that nobody can take that body out of there. Again, incredible, incredible similarities between Daniel's story and what Jesus went through. And in Acts 2:24, now we start to see where things change. This is where the greater Daniel becomes evident to us. Now, while both of them were not harmed, both of them were not harmed by what they went through. We know that Daniel was brought out of the pit and there was not a scratch found on him. We know that Jesus went to the cross, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. He did not come out unscathed, but here's what we do know. He went into death, and Acts 2:24 tells us that death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. So now we're starting to see the greater Daniel. He doesn't just do the same thing that Daniel did. He goes beyond what Daniel has done. And of course, we know both of them were raised. Acts 2:24. Regina, could you put that up for me, please? God raised Jesus up. There's a power that raised up Jesus. It was the king who ordered that Daniel would be pulled out of the pit, but it was God who raised Jesus, not just out of the tomb, but out of death. He is the greater Daniel. Yeah, the greater Daniel. And finally, we see they were both exalted. Both of them were, so with Daniel, he was restored back to the position that he had prior to being accused. With Jesus, he also was exalted. Let me show you these verses from Philippians chapter 2. It says this, "And when Christ had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name." There is no other name, right? But the name of Jesus. That is what, why? Because it's the exalted name. That's the name. And then it says, "and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." So he's not just exalted, which is amazing, but you and I need to have a response. Has our knee bowed to the name of Jesus, the greater Daniel? Has our knee bowed? And has our tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is
Lord?
Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what that means? Jesus Christ is God. That is what we're being, that's what is before us this morning. We have a greater Daniel who didn't just pass through everything that Daniel passed through. He passed through it in a greater way. He went into death, came out of death, resurrected from death, and is exalted, and he's asking you and I to have a response to that. There is salvation in the greater Daniel. There is salvation alone in Jesus. Jesus was in a real lion's den. He wasn't just in a lion's, I mean, it's bad enough being in that, but Jesus goes into a real lion's den, much greater than what Daniel went through, but he emerged from that. Let me finish this off in this way. I don't want to leave this idea of dare to be Daniel, because I think it may still be lingering with us. There's a difference between Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. You and I don't have to dare to be a Daniel by ourselves, because you and I have the greater Daniel in us. When you're a Christian, when you have bowed your knee to Jesus, when you have openly confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, the greater Daniel lives within you. I want to show you. Can you put up the second one from Trump along with? Thank you. Both Daniel and Jesus are turned over to be executed. That we know. The big difference between the two is that Daniel emerges without a scratch, while Jesus dies. That's the big difference. Yet, Jesus emerges from the tomb. That's our hope. Our hope, the greater Daniel, doesn't just stay in the tomb. He comes out of the tomb. And I want to just finish this message off this way. We've got no scars, no scratches on Daniel. And what we have on Jesus is scars. And I mentioned those earlier. The scars that Jesus has in his body as he's on the cross, they are there for a reason. They are there because of you, and they are there because of me. Those scars tell us that what Jesus went through was something greater than what Daniel went through. What Daniel experienced only affected him. What Jesus experienced impacts everybody. Jesus died and rose. His scars are because of your sin, my sin. He bore those scars. Those scars let you know, I love you. I bore those your sins for you. All of your evil, dark thoughts that you think nobody knows about. All of the things that you do wrong, whether they're in public or in private, and the things that you don't do that you know you should do. All of those are born by Jesus, and that's why he is scarred. But those scars go further than just him bearing it. Those scars point to forgiveness. It's one thing to know that I'm in trouble, but it's another thing to know I've got a way out. And God is saying, I have sent my son to die for you, bear all your sins, so you can get out of that condition. And the beautiful thing is, those scars were not temporary. When he resurrected, do you remember what he had? He still got scars, and he still will have scars for eternity. So you and I know this. The only way that we can be reconciled to God, the only way we can come to God, is through those scars of Jesus. That is why he is the greater Daniel. But there's one more point. Those scars also offer you and I an invitation to enter into relationship with Jesus so you and I can live a new life by a new life. It's not, okay, I want to be a Daniel, so I'm going to live it all by myself. I'm going to get all the effort. I'm going to put it all together. No, God is saying, no, I've sent my son. Let his life work in you to help you to be the person you're supposed to be. I want to leave you with these two verses, and then I'll ask a question, and then we'll pray. Paul says this, I pray that you may know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. Do you understand that you have power within you? When you have the greater Daniel living within you, you have his spirit, you have his power. What kind of power, you would ask? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that's living inside of you. So when you go through your lion's den, when you go through your fire, when you go through your trouble at work, you have a greater Daniel inside of you. Will you lean into that power, or will you just keep trying to be a Daniel? Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the liberty that it brings us. God, it releases us not only from sin, but it allows us to enter into a new life with you. God, I just want to pray for anybody in this room who has not yet made that connection with you. God, right here, right now, Lord, speak to them and help them to see they need a connection with you. They cannot just keep going the way they're going. They know it and you know it. So we just pray for that connection to be made this morning. God, all glory, all honor, all praise be to you forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the CIT Podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. If you want to connect with us, you can visit us online at churchintoronto.com. We'd love to see you at one of our Sunday services this weekend. Wherever you are, we want you to know that God loves you.